Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to Gold Diggers UK. To my left, we have
Samantha at SRCK12,
Lauren at Lauren Coys,
Marva at Marva MSK,
Mariam at I am Mariam _,
Brie at Brie Blue.
So, girls, it's only right we start with the game of the week. Arsenal hosted Liverpool in a 3-2 victory at the Emirates today. Sammy, I see the smile on your face, grin from ear to ear. Let's get into it, but let's start with Liverpool. Darwin Nunez, ladies.
I'm actually mad we let him score. He's been ass cheeks. And we let him score. But anyways, it was a deserved goal anyways, because we were losing pressure, we were losing composure. All like the defence, obviously this was like the Gabriel /Saliba mistake. And it could have been avoided, but at the same time, you know, so much could have happened prior to that pass that happened to Darwin anyways, but yeah, it's as well.
So girls, do we feel like Nunez has finally kicked off his Premier League career, that he's going to kick on from here? The goal gave him a bit of confidence, maybe, Marva?
I don't know if it's as simple as that. Let's calm it down, Liverpool fans, yeah? No, I think, to be fair on him, I think he's, in the last few games, he's sort of done everything but score. Like he, in the Champions League, I thought he played pretty well. And yeah, maybe if he, now that he's got that 1-0 kick on, but I think it's less just about him and more about the fact of how disjointed Liverpool are right now and how chaotic they are. If you're gonna concede first in every single game, then that's already asking a lot from your striker, to be honest, because your striker then has to score regardless. So yeah, the way their midfield is at the moment, the way a certain right back is at the moment, are there bigger problems? And I don't think it's fair to think that Nunez should just like drag them out of that. He's too new to the league to be the person to like spearhead it and drag them out of it when other players should be doing the job.
I'll tell you who's supposed to be dragging them. Salah.
Because I thought he was playing.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone said, you know, when he came out, I was like, oh wow, he was there.
Because it's the reason why I say it should be Salah, number one, he's been in the Prem for a minute. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most experienced players on that squad. And secondly, when Hazard was in Chelsea, people were saying that he's better than Hazard. Let's not do that. Because when Hazard was in the Prem, Hazard dragged a team of bums through to top four. Can Salah do it? Evidently he's showing us right now that he can't. I'm even happy to be on the pod today because Salah is looking
welcome.
He's looking very funny under the light ever since Mane left, and I'm happy.
He's actually money.
You know what, I think he's starting to be exposed as a fraud that he is. Let's put that out there. Yeah, he is. Did you see some of the shots he's been taking? Salah's been doing this for a minute, yeah, but because Mane's been there, you know, just making things look all rosy and dandy. People aren't really spotlighting Salah like that. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy the way things are going for Liverpool. It was about time. And if they finish top four, that they'll actually be very lucky. But the way things are going, I feel like it's gonna be a very long season for them. I think Trent has picked up an injury as well. I'm surprised that he still continued playing after that clash that he had. But yeah, please, Salah's looking funny, can't lie.
Can I just say about Salah? There are 3 Everton women players who have more league goals at Anfield than him.
Speaking on Salah then, is it only right that we give credit to Tomiyasu in the performance he put in at left back today?
Salah's been a 0 out of 10 pretty much all season.
Yeah.
It's not... I have to say, so Tomiyasu had a good game, but Salah has been bad for multiple games.
Yeah, that post-contract form is looking a bit...
I can't lie. I feel like Salah was relying a lot on Mane.
No, but he was. I think Mane was, out of the two, he's the more selfless one.
Yeah.
Or
maybe he's missing that element of competition, because I feel like when Mane was there, it was a constant competition between who's going to score the most.
Yeah.
So I feel like... maybe I was a bit too harsh. Not to be too harsh, but maybe that's the element that's currently missing in that Liverpool's front line.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the same energy is being kept, given how Mane started last season poorly and he was slandered up until December on the TL? And I feel like, is Salah that protected Liverpool player? Because he hasn't performed yet and we're in the month of October, or 3 months into the league season.
He definitely is, because there was no reason for Mane to not get the same contract as Salah did. I don't think Mane actually wanted to leave.
Yeah.
He was pushed to leave.
Exactly.
Because if I'm not given the same opportunities and the same reward for what I've done for this team, I'm gone. Exactly. Look what he's doing at Bayern. Cooking.
Madness.
Let him cook. Accolades to him.
I do think, though, like the imbalance of bringing Nunes in, because when it was Jota or Firmino, they're a lot more fluid in the front three. Whereas Nunes is a centre forward, he has a
what's a blind for like?
So Salah now has to play quite a different position. It's not, I do think, obviously, losing Mane is big for them, but they have had a few, and I can't believe I'm backing up for him, defending them, but they have had a few injuries. And then had Jota started the season, there would be less pressure on Nunes as well. And then, yeah, just think the way that they've, that imbalance now, it's like Salah does have to play a slightly different role. When you've got a number 9 who's waiting there for the ball to be crossed into them.
You know what? I hear it. I totally hear what you're saying. And diverting away from the attack, let's talk about the defence.
Yeah, that's another level.
Trent.
And midfield as well, to be honest.
For me, I don't care how many crosses he puts in, how many assists. You're a right back. Your primary job is to defend your goal. And people are running past you like you're still playing under 12. It's embarrassing.
But Lauren, do we think that Liverpool's defensive woes are just on Trent, or has the likes of Van Dijk, Tsimikas, Robertson been just as poor?
I think the whole defence has been poor, but... You know, when you watch Liverpool play, everybody targets Trent's side.
Exactly.
And because they know that they're going to exploit there.
Yeah.
And then the other defenders are also exposed. I think also Liverpool's midfield is terrible, so they don't get that protection either. But I think even Tsimikas isn't being run up and down the way that Trent is. It's not good. It doesn't bode well for him. Obviously, he's injured now. It doesn't bode well. I can really understand why he doesn't get into the England side. I can understand, because Southgate is pragmatic. You can't have somebody who everybody targets your side and people just run past you like you're not there. Martinelli could have played for 180 minutes.
It's almost as if he doesn't try. Like when Martinelli was on him, I don't know if it was for the second goal.
What are you doing?
That was actually awful. I know, of course, sometimes when a player cuts back, sometimes it throws the defender off, but I thought that was even an opportunity for him to sort out the little mess. But I don't know what's up with him. But yeah, it doesn't look good.
He gives up as well. Like, he gets done. He gets beat.
And he turns around.
He's like, oh, look, we conceded again. He gives up.
That's the word I was looking for.
Speaking of the Arsenal youngsters then, the likes of Saka, Martinelli and Martin Ødegaard, is it about time the rest of the league takes them seriously? Mariam, I want to start with you.
Did you say it's time for the rest of the league to take them seriously?
Yeah.
yeah, I think they're performing really well. Because I feel like when Martinelli had his injury, like everyone was onto him. Some were calling him meaty, smelly. And I think it was harsh because he's so young. But I think he's showing now what he can do in a good team. And he's so talented and he's in form. Yeah, I think they should take him seriously. Odegaard as well got so much stick. I've always stuck with him because I like him as a player. I think he's really good. And I think he brings that calmness as well. But he too got so much stick as well. But I think he's doing what he needs to do. And I wasn't really sure about like the captain, the whole captain shout at first, but I can see why he is captain. And did you mention Saka as well? Who did you mention Saka? I think Saka's been a bit here and there this season, but I can understand why. He's probably exhausted for one. And I think sometimes, you know, you need to, I think as a winger, like you need to reinvent your game and stuff like that. And that can be a bit difficult, but I think he'll be all right this season with some rotation and stuff. I think he'll be good, but everyone should take them seriously. That they're scary. Like when we played Arsenal, I was so rattled. But I mean, as much as we won, but I was rattled. I'm not going to lie. So it wasn't like I was so rattled because they're dangerous. But yeah, I think everyone should rate them. And give them. They are dangerous.
Excuse like, me.
Look what he did.
You're telling us we're not dangerous. Have you
even
seen
scored against us as well? Was it? Did it get rolled out? That
yeah,
goal?
Got rolled out for a foul.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. He on that left hand side, he's dangerous. I'm sorry. Like just like I don't know. Like if you lapse concentration for a few seconds, Martinelli is leaving you behind. Like, you can't do that with him.
See you later.
When he beat, was it Luis Diaz in the foot race? Yes. I was watching like, oh my goodness. Nah, he's rapping.
Yes, I do think the rest of the league should take them seriously. Of course, they're young as well, so there's so much time as well. But so there's room for improvement, but I do think people should.
I see the spirit of Tima is in Bree right now and being an Arsenal hater. She wants to
say something dangerous.
So Bree, how did you see the game as a neutral?
Well, as a neutral, I think that Arsenal started off quite well. But then there were moments of the game where Liverpool did actually, you know, attempt to dominate. Mm. I think especially seeing the likes of, you know, Nunes trying as well. And I think defensively, Arsenal kind of just lost a bit of momentum there. And I think that's what Liverpool were really trying to capitalise. So I think, you know, it was justified that that goal was scored before half time. I will be honest, Arsenal did play well. Like the 3 points were well deserved. I think what this game also exposed is that Liverpool's problems are way deeper than we actually thought. And I'm really surprised that the scoreline was what, 3-2 in the end? Yeah. I thought it was even going to be way worse than that with the way the Liverpool squad was.
I think, sorry to butt in, like, I think Liverpool are so lucky. I think Arsenal have an issue with, like, that whole clinical finishing thing. I feel like sometimes they really just try to walk the ball into the net and you can't always do that. In some situations, just finish it because every game is not going to be like that, do you know what I mean? But, yeah, Liverpool are so lucky that Arsenal, weren't so clinical today because it could have been quite bad. It could have been really humiliating. So, yeah, they're lucky on that part.
As well as Arsenal played on that, don't Liverpool always in the game. Up until the final whistle, they were always in the game. And I think that's the difference, for example, between like Arsenal and City. City have this ability to just take the game away from the opposition. Yeah. And I don't think that Arsenal did that. But equally, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you have to get the job done.
No, and our problem is we lose composure.
Yeah.
As soon as, obviously, Gabriel. First goal hit, fantastic. Gabriel does something stupid and then everyone just goes...
Yeah, you see,
I think that's what you're going to have though if you have a squad of young players.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because when their backs are against the wall, they have to keep learning. So I think, and also I think it goes to the point with Saka, with Odegaard and Martinelli, they are very, very good players, but they're also very young. So that consistency will come as they mature and continue to play. But you know, if they play like they did today, they're going to beat most sides in the league.
I think today was the first time I saw them actually come back with spirit and like, nah, we have to win this game. Because before, as I said, we lose composure, then we're just completely overrun. Like, we're finished. Then defence have to do work that they're still clearly not doing.
Mm-hmm.
But today I was like, do you know what? The fact that we have Saliba, oh my God.
Thank goodness you have. It's sad now that he's there. It's sad that he's there, but Gabriel,
Gabriel, I'm watching you. Even though he actually helped out in that second goal.
It was the second one. Goal. The step over in the box.
Yeah. He did his thing.
I said you redeemed yourself. However, we're still watching you because a lot of the times, all of these errors come from him. And he's a very rash player. We already know this. He's very much, he's an aggressive player and he wants to do everything to win. But the decisions that he makes cost the game. It's like, we need someone with composure at the back as well, leading.
I think that's why Saliba's there. It kind of helps him out a
little
bit.
He's still a kid though.
No, he is.
He's even
still
learning from Gabriel.
But I think he, of course, he's the more composed of the two. So
I feel like another thing I want to add is that this Arsenal team is definitely different to the squad that it was last season. And the reason why I say that is that when Sammy raised the point about, you know, usually if you're 1-0, 2-0 down, which wasn't the case today, obviously, but when the opposition scores, it's almost like you just lose that composure. And there are two things here. Number one, obviously, you scored the goal within the first minute, got a little bit carried away, allowed Liverpool to score again, you know, but then you found your way again.
We let Nunes do crying emoji at the stadium.
But
it's embarrassing for him to do that.
No, literally. But what I'm trying to get to you is that if this was a previous Arsenal team as of last season, it could have been a case where Liverpool could have just run away with it. Definitely. Do you got what I mean? So I think what this has shown me is that, yeah, you guys have the potential to take it all the way to, you know, winning the title. Do you think you can win the title?
What do you think?
No, but I think that's the only thing. I think because their squad is so young, even like when Wenger was about, I think they always had that mentality issue.
But
and
I
were
don't...
so... And it's still early in the season.
No,
so I'm
I think saying that the squad is too young is a dumb excuse.
No, not too young. I said so young. No, I said they're so young. So it means when it gets to a certain point in the season where, you know, your back's against the wall and they just need to like get results, ground up results, it might be a little bit difficult because there's not entirely that much experience across the whole
squad.
No,
but that's the experience. That's the experience that they need though. Because again,
I mean,
it's
not funny, they had it last season. I think when your mentality collapses at the back end of the season, what worries me as a Spurs fan is thinking they're not going to repeat that. I don't see this squad because they're every Thursday there's a reminder of exactly what they could have had last season when they're having to fly to here, there, wherever. So I think it's different.
All mainland Europe this time. Speaking of clinical edge though, Liverpool do face Manchester City next week at Anfield.
Oh my goodness. We
are talking about one of the most clinical teams in the league. So Marva, do you think Liverpool can afford to give up half of the chances that they did against Arsenal to Haaland and De Bruyne?
Definitely not. No team can. Right now, like, Man City are just another level. Because even to games like the Southampton one this weekend, like...
That could have been worse.
But it was just... Yeah. It was
they don't
so
have to get out of first
easy.
Gear. They do not have to leave first
so
gear.
Easy. And I've seen previous seasons where as good as City are and they still walk the league, but they have games where it's just like they're still kind of grinding out. They concede a few here and there. I know they've had a few like that this season anyway, but just the level to which they can just turn it on so casually when they need to... Like, but I do think though that Liverpool, if anything, this is the game that Liverpool need, because this is like the closest. I can't even lie. These are their rivals, basically. Like, everyone, barely their rivals.
So, this is the fiction where they'll actually feel shame.
And also, it's a reminder of like how far they've fallen, because this fixture last season was their like. Whoever wins this is within a good chance of winning the title. That is not the case right now.
Exactly.
So their fans will be up for it, obviously. It's at Anfield. Like,
they're going to be walking alone that day.
Yeah, no, it's true. I don't see how that team keeps see out.
It could be a season deciding game though. Not to like say that if they lose and that's it, but in the manner in which they might lose or the manner in which if they get a point and then it might kick them on a bit. But I'm like, saw what happened with United, with City. I think if that happens to
and
Liverpool,
see Liverpool's form right now
see,
after
exactly,
United.
I struggle to see them get that.
I think they have one win in the Premier League in about four games. Two draws, one defeat.
I saw someone tweet that Liverpool are below the team that they beat 9-0. I guess.
Yeah. Wow,
it's blow.
It's actually bad, you know. They're actually
speaking on the Manchester City striker, he has 20 goals in all competitions.
Boy.
It is October.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I'll repeat, 20 goals in all competitions mm-hmm. in October.
That's not normal.
And he has 15 Premier League goals in October. Yeah.
15?
At the beginning of October.
So I want to do a bit of a prediction and I want all of you guys to have your say. What game do you think Haaland will get to 20 league goals? Or what month should we say?
This month.
Not this month. He has 15.
In this month.
Halloween weekend.
Yeah, this month. In a couple of weeks. Yeah.
I'm saying what? Maybe hat-trick or at least two at Anfield. Then the hat-trick the game after.
Wait, triple captain Haaland. No.
This is not funny. It's actually unfair. Yeah, like, even Callum Wilson was talking about silver boot. I hear it. It's not fair.
Like, yeah, imagine.
No, can we check that he's a human being?
Like,
I think the funniest one was someone in our comments, shout out to you. Sorry, I forgot your username. He said, pour a bit of water on him, he might malfunction.
You know what?
I hear it. Can someone do it, please?
No, it's it's wild.
But remember, guys, Haaland is also very injury prone.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you say this, but it's not. Listen, he's not wish injury on injury and anyone, but it's not arriving.
Carrying, he was carrying Dortmund on his back. No wonder he picked up injuries. Like,
that's true.
Pep can actually take him out of the team if he wants to. Like, yes, okay, at the moment he's scoring, but you know, if he wants to play Alvarez, he can play Alvarez. They're still gonna win the game.
Sigh. You know what's mad about Haaland? I saw a comment over there where someone said, "Yeah, Haaland is what." Ibrahimovic thought he was. And you know I've never seen something so accurate
so
before.
It's true.
Yeah. And the difference is that Haaland is a lot more reserved, yeah. whereas Ibrahimovic was so up his arse.
Yeah. What did he call himself? He called himself a lion.
Oh, my
yeah. yeah. I think he's got the tattoo, though. He's got the tattoo.
Well,
yeah.
So doing it when you're like 20, I get it.
Yeah.
On to Manchester City, girls. A star that's faced a lot of criticism. He cost them £100 million. Jack Grealish, is he starting to find his feet in this Pep Guardiola system? People were questioning in the beginning, why did we get rid of Sterling? Why did we get rid of Jesus? Grealish wasn't up to the mark. Lauren, do you think he's arriving?
I think, yeah, the last few games he's looked, like since the last time we discussed him on the pod, he's looking like a City player. I still think he's got a long way to justify 100 million British pounds. But he doesn't look out of place. He hasn't looked out of place the last couple of games, and yeah. I think he links up quite well with Haaland as well. So I'm looking, thinking, oh, gosh, if it's another player getting up to speed, man, we're all playing for second.
I think he offers something a bit different as well to like a Sterling, where he's kind of playing as a. Like the way he can come central as well, it's almost like another number 10.
Yeah.
And because Cancelo plays as like a left winger, he doesn't need to play left back ever. Like,
Cancelo forgets what position he actually is.
Cancelo's like, I'm going to score now.
I appreciate that, by the way. I did captain Cancelo this week, so I appreciate it. Okay. To the bridge. Brie. New manager bounce, maybe. Graham Potter's boys, 3-0 against Wolves. Diego Costa returning to the bridge. Chelsea fans a bit unhappy about the Potter roulette, but it all seemed to have paid off. What do you think?
Whether we won, we lost, we drew, I'm Potter out. I never wanted to win my club.
You just started Quidditch ball. What's going on?
Quidditch ball?
You just started.
Quidditch. He won that. I can't lie. I think if Tuchel had put out that lineup that he did, I don't think Chelsea would have won the game.
He would have won the game. If Tuchel put that out.
No, I think the reason I'm Potter out is because why have we brought in a manager that has no experience in managing a team as big as Chelsea? He doesn't even know what it's like to play a European team. All he knows is like the low level stuff. Anyway, I think the 3 points that we got yesterday, it wasn't, I'm not giving that credit to Potter. It's the guys.
They a Chelsea want... fan. He's beneath them.
She said Potter's on placement. I don't get it.
No, I'm being so
Potter
serious.
Placement is the title of the episode.
You guys are laughing. I'm being so serious right
you know.
Now.
Is this because of your loyalty towards Thomas Tuchel, or do you just feel like you would have rather anyone but Graham Potter?
It's my loyalty towards Thomas Tuchel because it was his sack doesn't make any sense. To this day, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and really think, wow, they're actually just randomly sacked him.
We gotta let it go.
We sacked him!
We've got to move on, man. I honestly, you know what? Yeah, I don't like the way all of you guys are laughing at my pain. Like, there's a lot of emotional things I haven't gotten over with Chelsea just yet. Like, Tuchel should have never been sacked to begin with. We didn't even start the Tuchel out campaign. And he just got sacked.
That's actually true.
No one was asking for it.
Like, we just about signed Aubameyang. We just about signed the players that we needed. I think we should have actually given him until December. Have I healed yet? No, I haven't. So that is why I'm looking at Potter yet as our interim manager. Ooh, I'll be honest. Wow, okay, whilst we're searching for a proper one.
Okay.
No, honestly, because one, yeah.
What did he get given?
The last English manager we had, what did he do for us?
You got your top four.
And?
That was good.
You had a transfer ban.
And Tuchel came in halfway through the season, got us the Champions League.
Oh, here we go.
With that same squad.
Okay, Bree. Speaking of the Champions League, you did have an emphatic 3-0 win over AC Milan.
Well done to the boys.
Given AC Milan had some injuries.
do you know what cracked me up about that game? They came in the most coldest drip.
I need that jacket.
Nah, it's not
good. Yeah. They did fashion show.
They did fashion show.
That off-white jacket is talking to me.
Yeah. I was searching everywhere. Yeah. I was searching everywhere.
It's kind of like off-white, isn't it?
Yeah. I need that. I actually need that.
The photos were hard, though. They're just there on the pitch.
No, the way they pulled off the plane. The way they pulled up to that pitch was like, okay, yeah, they're coming to do a madness. It was actually quite embarrassing, yeah, to pull up that way and when then you get smacked up by a Chelsea team that hasn't been winning games. Have some class. Anyway, I'm happy. I feel like that bounce was very much needed, and that's the bounce that we should have had from the first week when Potter came in. But the fact that usually when we get new managers, yeah, you know the manager's going to be good for a minute when we get that instant manager bounce, but we didn't get that with Potter, so that's why I have no faith in the guy.
I actually saw a tweet that his record is exactly the same as Thomas Tuchel after the same number of games.
Well.
I'm just saying. It's the same.
Laura, why do you have to do like
that? I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just bringing up the facts.
Yeah, it's saying there was something like progressing rather than just like a new manager bounce and then done.
Well, Chelsea's group currently sits with Salzburg first with 5 points, and then Chelsea and AC Milan tied on 4 points apiece. So do we think the San Siro showdown will be the decider
for us to make
to
it
progress
out?
To the round we of have 16? To,
I can't lie, if we don't progress out of that group stage, Potter gets Sammy, you need to relax. First off,
this is what happens when I talk to Lily. Yeah, it's annoying.
She's going to see you buzzing.
I need to deliver my point. First of all, you're there singing and dancing. You've been in Europa League for how many seasons? Have you even won it?
That's why I'm running the two back.
Try to win it. Try to win the Europa League first then sing and dance it, yeah? The difference with us is that every time we've actually ended up in there, we actually win it. But if we actually do, then I don't want to see Potter at my club. I don't even want to see him right now. It's literally the blind leading the blind. Like Todd Bowley, whatever he's doing. Now he's
London Cowboys.
And going to the other side of the river, Lauren. Tottenham's group is very much tight. You currently sit second. 1 win, 1 draw, 1 defeat. How do you assess the halfway point under Conte in Europe?
I think we're in a right place. We're on 4 points. Top of the group is Lisbon. They're on 6. 2 out of the 3 games left are at home. We win the next 2 games, we'll get out of the group. Obviously you would like to be Man City and sit there on 9 points and feel comfortable knowing your qualifications drawn up next game, but yeah, I think we it's 2 hard away games. I think we've got the hardest 2 away games done. So I hope we just do the job the next 2 games and get out of the group. I'm confident that we'll get out of the group. The team, so you know, when the draw came out, I was thinking, oh, thank you. So I think it will happen.
A more general question. Do you guys think Tottenham's playing style is going to get them anywhere in Europe this season?
When you say anywhere, where? Europa League, Champions League final.
Out of their Champions League group.
Yeah, why not? Like, they have the squad. They have the manager. Like, why not?
The manager, where his record in Europe is round of 16, quarter final, round of 16, out.
Yeah, but what is your expectation for Spurs? We're not winning the Champions League. It's not a failure if we don't win the Champions League.
But surely if you're in it, you've got to believe that you have a chance to win it, no?
So I have a question for Arsenal fans. If you guys were in the Champions League this season, would you say you can win it?
Why not?
Then
you have to be realistic.
I don't think that's realistic. Yeah. Not for Spurs, anyway.
I'm not delusional.
Yeah. I mean, if they get to quarterfinal, semi final, that's all right for Spurs. I don't know what the general consensus is out there, but
what's your expectation? Where do you feel Spurs should be going?
I would say quarterfinal probably at best is my expectation.
Fair enough.
I don't like. We don't have PSG. We don't have the quality in our squad to win the Champions League. Like, we just don't. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, maybe we might go on a run. Like, I just, I want us to get out of the group because we need the revenue to get out of the group. I don't want to go and play on versus.
The NFL not paying enough?
Well, no, it is. But at the same time, our squad needs a lot of investment. So as much money as possible.
So Lauren, do you think if you don't make it out of this group, that's already a stumble?
Yeah, for me, it's a failure if we don't get out of the group. I don't want to go to the Europa League. I'd rather finish fourth, personally, than go to the Europa League. For me, if we don't, first or second is the objective. Anything other than that is a failure.
Okay. And then focusing on Tottenham again, your striker, he's in scintillating form. No one can keep up with Haaland, so we can't put anyone to Haaland's
winning
standard.
Winning the silver boot.
But for everyone else standards, can Harry Kane keep bailing Tottenham out? Marvel, what do you think?
I like the way you phrased that one. You're like,
that's a very targeted question.
Yeah. You say like, oh, like he's doing really well. So do you think he can keep that? Obviously, keep bringing them out. I mean, he's done it plenty of seasons before, where he is their main man. Obviously, Son right now is not providing the help that we'd expect from him. He got the assist, but it was one of them assists where it's like. I mean, he just hit and hoped. But Kane's a top class goal scorer. Like, I don't think he's given the respect that he deserves. So,
thank you.
You're right, Sammy. I know. But I think, in terms of him bailing them out consistently, the rest of the team needs to step up. Like, I thought that game against Brighton, it was like, it's a Conte performance, basically. It was like, they got the job done, but. That type of performance can't get you through every single game. Because as we've seen as well, Spurs away, they are not creating the chances.
And just because Kulusevski's injured.
Yeah. If you're not doing that on a regular basis, then yeah, they're going to struggle. But it's Kane's Kane, man. He can get you a lot of goals.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed that my striker is scoring goals. Like, I can't, he's doing his job. Like, honestly, he's a world-class striker, so I expect him to be in the positions, in the box, to get the goals. Yes, I would like to see Sonny scoring. I don't think, without Kulusevski, the way that we play in a 3-4-3 predominantly doesn't work. And we're struggling, but last season we lost 3-0 to Brighton at the Amex. Brighton hadn't lost a game at home this season. They're very good footballers. They went to Anfield and scored 3 goals. To keep a clean sheet in the week that our fitness coach sadly passed away as well. They didn't even train on Thursday. You know, we had one day to prepare for the game. It was an emotional game. You had Conte crying at the side before the game started. I think to go and get a clean sheet, to just get 3 points and come home and, you know, like today, Conte and the playing staff, they're at his funeral. I think they're, you know, this is one of those games where, yes, people look at it and think, oh, typical Spurs, but to actually go and put in that kind of pragmatic, hardworking performance, for me, that epitomised what Conte and what Gianpero stood for. And I'm proud of the team for just going to get the job done yesterday. Yes, I want us to play better, but You know what? I was nervous before anyways, because it's Brighton. Mm. Brighton are a good side. So.
Do you think tactical as well, though, because you played like 3-5-2 rather than two in the middle?
We had to, like, yeah.
Because Basuma started, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, and for the, I think for the first kind of half an hour, it was probably the longest that I've seen us have control of the midfield. And I think until Kulusevski comes back, we have to play like that, because Richarlison, Son and Kane, there's not enough creativity like amongst those that front three. So, and I was nervous when Brighton added an extra midfielder and then he decides to bring Richarlison on and go back to 3-4-3. I was thinking, oh gosh, we're going to concede. But we hung on. We're resilient. And Spurs have always played the Tottenham Hotspur way, and we've always tried to play attacking football and it's got us nowhere. So to see a resilient side, a side that's hard to beat, I'm not going to complain now. Like, if the results dry up, then obviously you start questioning, you know, is this way sustainable? But there's only been once in the Premier League we've had more points than we've had at this stage. Like, we're notoriously slow starters. So I can't complain.
Do you think that the new boy in Basuma is struggling to adapt to life at Tottenham?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's struggling. You know, the thing about Conte, and Conte's been your manager as well, he's not going to play, and unless he thinks that player is tactically perfect, he doesn't want to play them.
So why did he go get him?
I don't know. Basuma's a very good midfielder, and he was cheap. I have no doubt he'll come good, but Conte has to feel that you can not make any mistakes before he'll put you into the team. But I do think he added something. He had control. His anticipation is really good. I hope that we'll see him more. I think we're going to need him, especially until Kulusevski comes back. But Conte's stubborn, and like, I accept it. I'm not saying I'm happy, but he's stubborn. That's how he manages. But I support a club that has won one trophy in my lifetime, and we have a manager who has won everywhere he's gone. So you know what? I'm not going to sit here and complain at this moment in time.
Okay. And then, Mother, do you think that Richarlison, your old Evertonian, is settling well? Is he struggling? Is he not being utilised properly?
I mean, if you want to give him back, like, feel free
to. No, I didn't say that.
Well, he had a few games where he did really well for Spurs, and it was looking like he was just going to cement his place. But I think it's a bit of a difficult system for him, because it's a team that's relying, and he can do a lot himself, but he's not really getting the service from midfield when they're getting overrun in midfield. So in like the Arsenal game, where it's just relying on them getting it perfect in the counter-attack, in the like four counter-attacks they get, and you have to get it perfect. Mm. And even with that, one, he misplayed a pass, and then the other one, it was like Son misplayed a pass to him, which I think if he'd got that, I reckon he would have scored. But he's got so much talent. Like, I love him. I still love him. But I think if Spurs go on a run, and if they start clicking a bit better in attack, then I think Richarlison will do really well. And he just fights so hard. So
yeah, I respect him. I feel really sorry for him having to play on the right-hand side with Emerson behind him. Yeah. Because Emerson can't pass, he can't cross, and he can't shoot. So I feel really squished. I watched all of Spurs' game. We're always on the right-hand side of the pitch, and Richarlison's like, pass me the ball, and Emerson can't make that pass. And he's like, oh, I'm going to run in behind. Emerson can't play that pass. And our midfield is overrun, so it's very difficult for them to get their head up and play the ball in behind.
I'd be interested to see as well, because why I thought Richarlison was a smart signing for you is that he can play as a number nine and on the wings. When Kane gets injured, you've always had that problem of who's going to sit as a backup striker, knowing they'll never play unless Kane gets injured. But I'd be interested to see him through the middle, because he can do a very good job through the middle.
I think it has to come, because Kane's hamstrings are going to snap. He can't play. He can't. He cannot. He can't play every single one of our games.
Is coming.
Yeah, like it, and that's what worries me, because Kane hasn't been rotated yet, and he's going to. He's going to have to be, but that's exactly why we bought him, and I have full faith in him. I think the system doesn't play to his strengths, but also I think I also wouldn't want to play with Emerson playing behind me. So, you know, we are where we are at this point.
Speaking of injuries, for all of our clubs, it is a nine. Oh, apart from Mother, sorry. all of the clubs in Europe.
I was so
We could have just, you know, skipped over.
You know, you just have to point it out. Marva would have actually gotten the point.
My apologies, Marva. My apologies, Marva. The fixture congestion. Managers have come under scrutiny, some for not rotating, in Chelsea's case, for rotating a bit too much. Do we feel like we need to see more of that so that the star players aren't injured by November, given that I think all of our teams, United, Arsenal, Chelsea and Spurs, are going to average 8 to 10 games for the rest of the month? Mariam?
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, I think rotation is so key. Like, this season's going to be a madness. We're going to see, well, I guess there's some players, you know, where they're going to be injured. Some will be unexpected. So I think rotation is so key. But then where this season as well, talking specifically about the league, like, where is one of those seasons where it's like, it's a little bit unpredictable as well. Like, anyone can kind of get it sort of thing. I feel like that's the way it started. There's some teams that are doing really well now, like Newcastle, Brighton. So it's not just the top six kind of thing. Yeah, I feel like rotation is so key. But at the same time, it's like, at what cost for some teams? Because, I mean, not everyone's
Which teams got... in particular?
I'll start with mine. Yeah, United, first of all. I don't think our depth is very good. Well, I mean, of course we've got depth, but it's like the quality of it. Like, not everyone is like City. Do you know what I mean? Like, City, Pep can make how many changes and his team
the quality
can still,
doesn't drop.
Exactly, and his team can still win any game pretty much comfortably, whereas some of us is a bit... I think that, like, even with Arsenal's, well, they're doing really well, and they're a very, very good team. Like, they're really good, but at the same time, they don't have that depth, and I feel like that might affect them.
Might?
It probably will affect them coming up. Maybe, I don't know. It depends on who gets injured, you know what I mean?
I'm not saying this to be, like, a dig, but I think there's a difference between the clubs that are playing in the Champions League and the ones who are in Europa and Europa Conference, because I think the Champions League... Well, actually, Chelsea are rotating their team, but Conte can't afford to rotate his first side, otherwise we will finish
fourth. We'll lose.
Some teams can't afford, so...
We're at the stage of the season where, because you're in the first three games, you're trying to play your strongest team in Europe, because you need to do that to get out of your group.
That's the risk you have to take, because what can you do? You want to be able to succeed in your league and succeed in Europe. Like, what else am I supposed to do? Mm. But rotation is very key, but you have to pinpoint it at a specific game. Like, what game do I think the B team can work together to get a win out of this? There's going to be teams where you think that, okay, I can rotate today. But obviously, it just depends on, as you said, you want to win every single game. I want to put my strongest side out. But managers know the type of football that the opposition plays, who's best for that team.
I think on the point of the importance of rotation, I can definitely echo with what all of you guys have been saying. And I do think, like, in Chelsea's case, I think that rotation is definitely important, because, again, that also enables the players to warm up and get more experience as well. So when an instance where a key player is injured, it's not a case of bringing on someone that hasn't played in 2-3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? So I think at this stage of the season, it's so important that rotation is actually happening. And that also means that different players will actually adapt to playing in a different squad, at different times, because I feel like at the same time, if you stick to the same squad up until a point where it's just, okay, we're playing a lower team today, we can rotate, that's when it can actually bite you on the ass. So right now, it's very, very pivotal that rotation is in place, especially with the fixture congestion and the World Cup coming up in like less, you know, just in over a month's time. Now, with regards to Arsenal, for example... You guys are laughing at me. But with regards to Arsenal, now you guys don't really have that privilege, and that's what I think is really going to affect you. And that's why I also think that being title contenders is, it's not so far-fetched. It's not far-fetched, but once the injury starts to kick in, which is inevitable, then see how you guys are actually able to
pick up. It's like what Lauren was saying, in that when it, at what point are Arsenal going to get really tested in the Europa League to the point where they can't be starting like Nketiah and like that team? Because
the thing is, though, in
it
Europe,
might be a little while.
Arteta is still bringing on Jesus and Saka. For what?
But I don't think they've started. Like, I think Saka, Saliba, Partey, and Jesus have all been rested, come on for 20 or 30 minutes, but they haven't started.
But they still don't need. They still don't need to do that 20, 30 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Because as I said, even the last time I was on the pod, your players need to recover properly. Otherwise, your muscles are finished. If you don't recover properly, you're going to go onto the pitch thinking, my legs are not feeling right. Mm-hmm. There you go. Your hamstring is gone. Quad gone. You're out for 4 to 6 weeks. Whose fault is that? Because you came on for 20 minutes unnecessarily.
I feel like Saka definitely needs to be rested.
He needs to sit down at home for like 4 weeks.
I feel like the problem, it's not even a problem, but I hope it doesn't become a problem later in the season, where Arteta gets carried away, constantly starting Jesus, constantly starting
this
Saka.
He will want to. If you're competing on multiple fronts, that is what he's going to do if he wants to win those trophies.
Yeah, but again, if he want, what trophies are we talking about? Because now we're talking about
if you're going on you're knee deep in the run for the Europa League. And I can imagine, I'm not saying title race, but we're still all going to be probably competing for second place.
Yeah.
If City haven't run away with it by then, he's going to have to play them.
Yeah. Also, for Europa League, I mean, look at the standard of clubs that are there. I'm sure he can start.
Yeah, but the Champions League one, some of them will drop down. It's a tournament.
Well, those from the Champions League, they get dropped down to Europa League for a reason, so...
If I see Arsenal versus Barcelona, I'm scared. Another
problem is the Europa League is so long. So I even told myself I'm not watching the first few months. Yeah. If we're still in it, I'll be like, maybe I'll tune in December. Start tuning kind of thing. Because it's so long. So even Sammy, as you were saying, they'll come in for like, let's say Jesus Saka will come in for like 20, 30 minutes. That will add up, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
They're resting, but they're not fully resting. So I think with the Europa League, like, he might have to make some sacrifices ish, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's not going to be easy. I have to strap up, guys.
Okay. Mario and Martha, earlier today, you gave us a live watch along TikTok.
By the way, that third goal was disallowed, so it was 2-1 in the end.
Oh!
That's why I keep checking my fingers. What if it goes
2-1?
No
way! Please, but no, 2-1.
That's underwhelming. Sorry.
Man United and Ten Hag finally finding their feet in the league. Mariam, do you want to talk us through the game today and how you think it went for your side?
I mean, we've got 3 points and we needed the 3 points probably more than Everton, so I'll take that.
The basis can't be of we don't need those 3 points because we're not fighting relegation yet. We have to compete for them.
Did you not see my stress last season?
So I'll take the 3 points. I think we need to cut out this thing of conceding first and then we equalise. I mean, it's a good thing that we can respond. Like, I like that Ten Hag has this thing now where when we concede, everyone, they have to stick to his principles and eventually we will equalise, kind of thing.
Come back,
but you
FC.
You can't do that every game, especially when it gets to a certain point in the season or we were playing certain opponents. You can't keep doing that. But at the same time, as I said, I mean, it's a good thing that they're able to come back. I think we dominated quite a bit in the first half. I think even at points in the second half, but at the same time, dominating and possessing without doing anything with the ball, I mean, what's the point? And I feel like Everton are always still in the game, really. And that, of course, that creates a bit of tension because you don't ever really feel comfortable. But at the same time, I feel like we had the quality on the pitch. I mean, to get the winner kind of thing. I mean, we won in the end. But I'd say that midfield is a bit here and there, like even with Casemiro starting. I don't know what it is. I don't really know what it is, but something ain't ticking, man. And then I think Martial going off as well was a bit, that kind of threw me off. I'm not gonna lie, that threw me off completely. Because I feel like he's got a really good record against Everton, so I was expecting more.
Got an assist though. And then
yeah,
off.
I mean, I don't mind that as I won, innit? Even if we lost the game, I won because there was some goal involvement. But sorry, shameless. But yeah, I guess on to the next game. We have Newcastle next. It's not gonna
so
be
Joseph Parker, or whatever.
I don't even know, you know. But it's gonna. I know it's gonna be hard.
This might be
hard. But I say anyway. Importantly, after the heavy, well, of course we midweek we got a win, but after the heavy defeat in the league last week, I think it was very important to get those 3 points because it would have been if we didn't get it now, then it'd be hard to get it because like at what point do you get it? Newcastle was a very hard fixture as well. Well, I think this season looks like it's gonna be a hard one, and I don't think it's been easy for us for a while. So, yeah, I think it was important to get the 3 points today. I'm not really sure about how, like, how comfy we are playing and stuff like that. Ronaldo got his goal, and I'm happy for him, but I'm really not sure about him. I mean, the amount of misses midweek was really concerning. I mean, he's supposed to be the person that's supposed to help bail us out, and I mean, if he has to get, like, 500 chances to do that, then, boy, it's not going to be easy.
Do you think he needs match fitness, though?
Potentially, too. That's true, because he's not really starting, is he? But, yeah, I can only hope it's just, you know, onwards from here. We continue winning. We can put the City game to bed. We can forget about that.
That's still relevant.
Okay, you can.
That's still relevant.
We can put that to bed. But yeah, we just need to just keep up the wins. And I just hope that, we keep that consistency until we hit a bump again, I guess. But yeah.
Bree, do you think it's time United fans pull the plug on Tony Martial?
That's a good question. No, because I actually just came across a tweet where someone said that he's only, someone said that he's only 2 goals away from Sancho's total numbers that he scored.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's right, Shia, you laugh.
Oh, Mila, where are you?
actually, how long has he been at the club for now?
Who?
Sancho.
Isn't this his second?
No, not Sancho.
Over 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Too long. Wait, 5 years and he's still... what's the most he scored since he's...
He had a 24-goal season.
Was that his first season?
No, that was the season under Ollie where him and Rashford were on fire.
It was
19-20. 19-20. Him and Rashford, yeah.
Yeah, I think after this season, yeah, if things are still up and down, they should just pull the plug, man.
I don't think you can have an injury-prone player as your starting striker.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be sold because I think he offers a lot. But
can be like a super sub.
Yeah, like the fact that the man's injured in the warm-up. We can all see him hobbling around and he's still starting the game and then he's just moving around for the first 20 minutes. And I don't think, as Manchester United, a club that's supposed to be a big club competing for big things, to think, do you know what, we're going to have to play him. I think you need somebody who is reliable. I think
The club blundered though because Ronaldo wanted to move. He didn't get his move and they didn't think, let's opt for a striker. Because I can't lie, when Martial was on loan, I wasn't sure he was going to come back. I wasn't sure that they'd keep him.
Great. Did he also not get injured in like the first 3 games at Sevilla?
Yeah, he got injured on loan as well.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know.
Has he been injury prone?
I don't think he was in the beginning.
Didn't him and Rashford play through injury?
No, but they did. They did under Ollie. They did. Because he did actually, he had an interview where he was talking about stuff like that and playing through injury for Ollie and stuff like that. So I don't think that's helped. And even when when Ollie came in, he was still quite young. Because I think now is he like 26?
Yeah,
but 26. Yeah, so he was still quite young when Ollie came in. And I think playing through injury then is not, and it's not helpful at all. Like, do you know what I mean? Especially a player that's trying to, you know, they're trying to reach their peak. So I think that's affected him. It's affected Rashford too. But I guess it's true. Like, it pains me to say, but we actually can't rely on him. He's not reliable right now because of his injury. But I was thinking he was going to be such a key player for us this season. But how can you be key if you're not present? So I don't know about that. But if
he shouldn't have been key in the first place.
Excuse me?
What's
that supposed to mean?
You're going through a rebuild. That's what I'm saying. You're going through a rebuild. Yeah. Martial should not be the first person you go, yeah, starting striker.
She loves Martial.
Martial, see.
But Ronaldo's supposed to be our striker. I prefer Martial actually on the wing.
Ronaldo is a grandpa. He shouldn't be on the striker.
But I mean, what can we do? Who else do we have?
How do you have an appendix?
That's
you
the problem.
That's the problem. This is the problem. That's what I'm saying, though, because we shouldn't be having these conversations.
But that's what I'm saying. Martial shouldn't have been someone you think about in your squad rebuild.
No, but I'm not going to lie. Like, this is not me take away all bias and because I love him. Let me be objective. He's actually a good player. Like, he's actually a good player. Like, I can't lie. He is the glue. He's one of the few players that can retain the ball.
It's time to move on.
Do you know what I mean? Stress, but I'm saying no because a lot of people like hate. But if you want to talk about,
I mean,
like,
if Sancho was good, you would have two options at striker in Martial and Rashford. Oh, but speaking on that, mother, nice. For £52 million, exactly. Pounds,
thank you.
What's your weigh in on Anthony Martial's time at Manchester United?
I feel like it's quite harsh to bring up his like price tag, but it's been so long.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not trying to make investment on that now. That money's gone.
Oh, and the Ballon d'Or clause. Let's not forget that one either.
And the Ballon d'Or. I think it's unlucky. Like, I mean, to be honest, how many players have really progressed and flourished at Man United in the last few years? Like, it's they've gone through a chaotic time with different managers,
exactly.
Not very good managers in a lot of sense. And he was, I mean, yeah, he hasn't really been given the tools to flourish. Now he's injury prone. I don't know. I think it's just, yeah, he should be a good backup striker. That's it.
Yeah, the main tool that he needs is his body. And it doesn't hold on.
But there was a point where he had his body and then he didn't have the other tools. Like, let me say, the player or the manager. Do you see what? No, wait, guys, can we be honest? Like, do you not think he's a little bit cursed? Maybe maybe we should pull the plug and he should go somewhere else because it's been seven years now.
He tried. It's been seven years now.
And I really thought he'd be a really, at the beginning, when did he come? 2015. Mm-hmm. That was kind of at the beginning of our rebuild. And yeah, I really thought he'd be something. I didn't think it would be as chaotic as it has been now. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like he didn't have the right managers. There were so many things that went on. So I feel like there's a lot of context around it. Of course, he can do better. He could be better in the times where he was informed. But as for now, maybe you're right, Shan. Maybe we do have to pull the plug and we just can't rely on him. It's sad because he's a good player. But anyway, moving on.
Speaking of players, Marva, a player that Lampard has given confidence, he looks a new person in that midfield role. Alex Iwobi.
Banger today as well. That was a great goal.
That was
a great finish.
He's honestly been like our best player in every single game. Like today we played poorly, to be honest. It was like one of the worst games I've seen this whole season. But in every single game, Iwobi has been our best player, which is crazy when you look at sort of what fans were thinking of him maybe like a year and a half ago. He started to kick on, yeah, about a year and a half ago where he was having to play in so many different positions, but fans appreciated like his work rate. He was just doing really well at just trying. Whereas now I think we found the perfect, well, good system for him as well, where he's given, now that we've got Onana and Gueye behind him, it gives him the freedom to go off and be creative, which is what he's wanted for a long time. Whereas when we tried to play 4-3-3 before, it was a case of behind him was like Alan, who can't really run, and Decore, who's a bit more attacking, so he didn't have that base behind him to do the legwork. So yeah, I'm glad that he's flourishing, but today was bad.
At least he left with something in a goal. Guys, do you feel like Frank Lampard was given the right amount of time to turn things around at Everton, or do you still feel like he's not the right man for the job and start blowing?
I think he needs more time. I think it's really hard now because I think managers come in and we expect a lot within 12 months, which in reality, that's two transfer windows. Like the fact that Seamus Coleman is still playing,
to be fair, Patterson got injured.
But then I think, how can you expect a champion, like a man to improve a squad when you have championship level defenders in your starting team, regardless, obviously, Patterson's injured. I think he needs more time. I think Everton have improved. It's gone from desperate times last season. And I think Everton would be comfortable, but I think he needs probably more time. I think Everton's a good level for Lampard's you know, management ability. I don't think there's many better jobs that he could probably have. Personally, I don't think I would sack him. Yeah, I think there are other managers who are on borrowed time more so than Lampard.
Who?
Gerard. Rodgers is still there.
You see, that's what... I'm sorry to cut there, Laura. That's what really gets to me. How is Brendan Rodgers still there? But
they can't afford.
No, but Tuchel got sat... Like, it doesn't make...
That time, I'm awake!
You know what?
It's true. I agree with you, Adam. Yeah, what was it? Leicester lost to Bournemouth.
They did.
Yeah, I mean, and the man's... He's going to be turning up to work tomorrow morning still, so...
Tuchel got sacked, okay.
Okay. Tuchel will find work soon, don't worry.
She'll support that team now as well.
Brie, how do you feel about Frank Lampard at Everton? Chelsea experience aside.
I think Everton is his level. And let's be honest, like Everton were on the brink of relegation last season. I think he did quite a good job reviving the team and keeping them within the Premier League. And even like just seeing what he's doing with the squad currently, it actually goes on to show that he should have never actually come to Chelsea to begin with. No, because really and truly, he should have worked his way up from Derby to Everton and then maybe to like, you know, a mid-table team.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh wait, there's another stepping stone between Everton and Chelsea. First you got cut out of the European discussion and now you're the stepping stone to mid-table.
I'm so sorry.
Mum,
I'm sorry. I just came early. I did a TikTok live.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, yeah, you know, going from... managing a championship team, then, you know, managing a team that was about to get relegated to go to championship, then his next stepping stone would be a stable mid-table team. Then, that's like 10, 15 years, by the way, before then doing big clubs.
Yeah,
he's 10, 15 years at a mid-table team.
He ruined it for himself at Chelsea because I can't go back.
10.
Okay, I'll say 10.
Huh?
10 years at a mid-table team?
Oh, no, not 10 years of one team. Like, just the whole journey.
Oh, okay.
Like, his whole managerial journey should have been 10 years at least before managing a team like Chelsea. And that is why, again, I'm against having Potter at my club. Like,
so, Brie, if Graham Potter does bring Chelsea silverware.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say maybe not the Champions League, but you win the double in the domestic cups.
That's not a double.
So
more cups. Anyone that says it's a double have some shame.
So would you be willing to give him a platform to grow from that point on, given that
you know what? If he actually gets us to win the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup, yeah, I'll be happy because then we finally break our Wembley curse. That's a start. But that doesn't mean that I'll be fully convinced about him.
So that's massive for Potter, though.
No, that's massive for him. But as a club, that's not massive for us.
What does he have to do? What does he have to do?
He has to win us the Premier League and the Champions League.
But that's not going to happen. What time frame?
By the end of the season.
By her standards, yes.
I'm going to go easy by the end of next season.
So by the end of next season, Chelsea have to be title challengers.
Yeah.
And
with Manchester City and Pep Guardiola and...
No, not both, but...
And Haaland's still in the league.
That's the problem. There's a possibility. Anything can happen.
But then, Brie, another question for you would be, if Tuchel was still your manager, would you expect Chelsea to be in the title challenge this season or would that 2023 deadline still be the same?
With the way we started, I'd say no, but... if Tuchel was still here, I'd definitely say we have to be title contenders next season, 100,000%. Like, the thing is, yeah, we're almost there to be title contenders. Yes, City have Haaland and stuff, but let's be honest, Pep is not going anywhere. And he's actually the glue that's keeping everything together with the amazing team that he has as well. And we can do the same thing if we have the right budget or bring in the right players. So no,
so 250 being, mil wasn't the right budget.
Look at the players that we brought in. Us being Lauren.
I'm just the point
I'm trying to make is that we're not so far off being title contenders next season. I don't think we are.
Didn't you buy a midfielder that hasn't started yet?
Oh, Zakaria. Yeah.
We're resting him.
Okay.
To be fair, they do have two. They also did buy Chukwuemeka, and he hasn't featured yet for Chelsea.
Because Potter... Anyway.
You won 3-0, no?
But... Yeah, we won 3-0, but like I said...
That's why I asked the question. Like, what actually... So
do you know what it is, bro? I think your loyalty to Tuchel is maybe blinding you a bit. Just a little bit. Because I feel like you can cut Potter some slack. Like, do you know what I mean?
So what slack should I cut him? In that, I don't know.
He's just started.
He's just come in.
Give him the season.
I mean, Conte came in and we won the Premier League.
With no European football,
Yeah, and we finished 10th the season before that. So it was the same squad, by the way. So...
Well,
okay, guys. And a team is sort of going under the radar a bit. Eddie Howe, Newcastle. Are they in contention for a European place? So anywhere from 8th all the way up into the top 4? Or do we think they're going to fall off later on down the line?
They're
going
to fall off.
They're going to fall off?
Yeah, like maybe finish in the middle of the table.
So Europa League, so Conference League?
Yeah.
Scatter.
Like somewhere, so I think they'll finish somewhere between 10th and 7th.
Like a true Chelsea fan.
And 7th is Europa 7th to 10th. League Court Conference, isn't it?
7th is Conference League.
To be honest, I don't even know what, no. Between.
Maybe 8th, 5th, 1, yeah. In the Cups. Then 8th will get you there.
To be honest, I haven't been watching Newcastle like that, so don't.
They're a good side.
So do you guys actually honestly think there are 8 better teams in the Premier League than Newcastle United?
I think Newcastle will replace Everton. Not Everton, sorry. I deeply apologise because we were just talking about that. I was looking at you. I think Newcastle will replace West Ham as the outside, the typical big six who are qualifying for Europe. I think Newcastle will get the Conference League.
The Leicester badge.
Yeah. I think they'll... I'm worried about them because I do think they're going to keep getting better and they're going to keep investing. And even players like Bruno, who look really good, will continue to adapt to the league. Like, I'm worried about next season. But yeah, I think they'll do 8th.
I think they'll do eighth as well.
You know what? I totally hear it. They're currently 6th, actually. That's not bad. Yeah. I actually agree that they're taking West Ham's place in that
top 2 minutes 10. Ago, she was saying...
No, but I said 10th-ish, 8th-ish, 7th-ish. Listen, that was in the past. We're talking about now. But no, I have to be honest. I put my hands. I haven't been really watching them like that. I just hear Newcastle. I'm just like, huh?
They press really high.
Like, I do think they're a good team, but Brentford gave them 4 out of their 5 goals yesterday.
Yeah, it's Ethan Pinnock. They had a gave shocker. Them
like, oh my, terrible, terrible goals. Mm. Other than Bruno, even the Bruno one, which was a really good finish. The second one, it was just from...
But I think when the opposition makes that many mistakes, I think that's they're influenced by how they were being pressed because they were panicking and trying to get rid of the ball. I think one, you know, the odd mistake, you think, fine, but... Exactly, like...
Passed it to them twice.
Like, I think... But I think that those mistakes were only caused by the fact that Newcastle was so aggressive in their press that they were panicking because Brentford they're a good footballing side. They play out from the back very
and
well.
And being able to capitalise on mistakes and actually finishing them, like finishing what you are achieving, that's already something to be happy about because a lot of times teams will be like, oh, okay, cool, we've got the ball now. Oh, they've got it back. We've got the ball now. Oh, we've got it back. It can just go up and down with no end product. Or at least Newcastle actually got the end product.
And they have St James's Park as well. Such a tough ground. To go to when the crowd's up and the crowd's happy.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Hey, I was like, away the lads.
That stadium season. Was rocking, boy.
Oh. I just remembered.
Sammy.
Staying on the Newcastle topic, though, Mariam, you do host them next weekend in the league.
You know when you said that, my heart sung.
Do you think Newcastle go into the game at Old Trafford as the favourites?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I might sound shameless, and this is me being, I'm being honest. Yeah, they should. They should. You know, like they've over the couple of seasons.
I feel like Old Trafford though.
You're at home.
And even then, like, I won't be surprised if we go 1-0 down. Yeah, we might come back, but I'm saying, I don't know. I just, lack of trust. This is what
they've
done.
You know, if they beat you, they actually got above you, you know?
Yeah, because they're just behind us, isn't it?
Yeah, by one exactly. Point.
So I think even that's a good boost going into the game, even if they are away from home, but they're a point behind us. And over the past couple of seasons, they've given us a tough time here and there. So, I mean, I'd expect us to win, but they are in good form. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've lost to teams that are, anyway, yeah, I think Brentford. I think they should be favourites. I think they should be favourites.
Eddie Howe deserves his flowers, you know, because I thought he'd be a stopgap until they would like bring in, you know, like a big name manager. But he's done really well with that squad to integrate so many
and the players that he's brought in. Oh, something hurts inside of me every time I see Bruno score.
Yeah.
But the thing is, player for player, Man United is still better. So.
Oh, no, we are better. We are better.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh. The Bruno G versus the Bruno Fernandes showdown?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like Murphy, they've still got playing. Dan Burn, like, I rate these players. Like, Burn's a good defender, but come on, like, he's not. He's not one of the best defenders in the league.
Trippier's there.
Again, I think we just have to look at our midfield. We have to look at our midfield, I think. We've been losing the midfield battle quite a lot in a few games, or we've been struggling. So up against
Joe Linton and Willock.
The thing is, they work hard. And just like Brentford against United, when you come up against a midfield that will work harder than yours.
Well, there we go.
I still think United will win.
Yeah, I agree Newcastle. Like, it's not even to put them down, but in terms of going into it as favourites.
Yeah, no, they're not favourites. Come on.
It just makes me feel better saying they're favourites. Of course I know that they're not actually the favourites. Yeah, okay. But for me, in my head, it makes me feel better saying they're favourites. But and even with United, we don't even have to, like, the opposition in terms of the midfield I'm talking about, they don't actually have to be better than us to actually beat us in that whole midfield battle. They don't need to be better than us. Let's be honest. They don't need to be. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes.
Casemiro, if he gets pressed.
Great. The second best striker you've had in recent seasons did make a return to the Bridge. Diego Costa, he didn't cause Chelsea too much problems
because he still loves us.
Do you feel like he could have solved your problems in the recent striker woes you've had?
What, as in how recent?
So between when he fallen out of Conte and left to current date.
Oh, by the way, I still haven't forgiven Conte for that. I think he was let go probably a couple of seasons too soon, in my opinion. That fallout, because let's be honest, since Costa's left, we haven't replaced him properly. We tried to replace him with Lukaku and look at what he did last season. I feel like if we had kept him maybe for another two seasons, maybe we would have maybe won the Premier League again or something. I don't know. But yeah.
Oh.
Did you see how he did like a lap around the pitch rather than just walking off to
the beach?
Honestly,
yeah. I still feel like the Chelsea fans still love and appreciate Diego Costa.
He never got that, did he?
You know, he got booed.
Booed out the club. Yeah. Booted out the club even.
You know, he got booed when he came on last week against West Ham. I was so confused by that.
West Ham and Chelsea
need to find a rivalry in it. Every time, West Ham, biggest game of the season, Chelsea and Spurs.
He also was like the pantomime villain when he played in the Premier League before.
But do you remember?
Box office. Absolute box office.
Costa and the other Gabriel.
Oh, Paulista.
Yeah. Good times.
That's so cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I gave 6-0 or something.
Yeah. something silly like that.
Battle of the Bridge, man. And Dembele gouged his eye out.
Oh.
I think that's literally one of the most iconic games in Premier League history. And the fact that Hazard was having a shocker of a season. And he's the reason why Tottenham fans can't tell us that they won a league title.
Do you know how many comps there are that you'll be watching something and then it just pams to the Hazard top in? Yeah.
No, I was watching that clip the other day. You know when we gave Leicester the title? Mm. That game.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's just another couple of things that I want to touch on. it's only right that we preview what is the biggest game in the Premier League, the Haaland versus Nunes showdown, if it is to be a showdown.
It's already unfair.
I want to get everyone's predictions of how they think that game's going to go at Anfield, starting with Marva.
I'm going to go, I think 2-1 City. I think Liverpool will give...
Just 2-1?
Just 2-1.
Yeah. I think Liverpool will give them... Like, if they don't turn up for this, when are they turning up?
I don't think it's a case of turning up or not. I just don't think it's possible. For them to keep the ball out of their net.
Mariam, how do you see it going? The two teams that Man United hate the most, what do you think?
I think 3-1 City. Yeah, I think 3-1 City.
These are very low score lines, guys.
Right. No, the thing is, I think it could be more, but at the same time, like, when they were both, because of course Liverpool are not really in that title contender position, do you know what I mean? But when they both were and it was that, oh, title contender.
They're not the same anymore. As much.
That's what I'm saying. It was a bit different, like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I just feel like Liverpool would be more up for it. I don't know if now maybe, I don't know. I still think City are 100% going to win for sure. But I don't know, they might actually, I don't know. I think they might turn up simply because that's who they've been competing with for the league for the past couple of seasons. So, yeah.
Brie?
I'm actually going to go with like probably 4-1 or 5-0. And that is inclusive of possibly a Haaland brace or Haaland hat trick.
5-0 is...
No, because I think Liverpool... They're in tatters right now. I think it's just gonna get worse.
They're in tatters.
No. And oh yeah, if Trent is continues doing, I don't know well if he's injured or not, but if he shows up like how he showed up today,
doesn't matter because Gomes is taking over. And he's not doing anything.
No, literally, I think it's that. And boy, that game is very important for Liverpool because they're so far behind Manchester City already, and if they lose that, it's further creating a gap. But yeah, I'm gonna go with those score lines I've mentioned.
A 13-point gap. Already in the month of October with a striker that I need to remind everyone is not going to the World Cup.
Oh, is he not?
He's gonna, they he's didn't gonna make go back it. In his cryo chamber.
He's gonna go
so he can come he's back gonna again.
Go hibernate with Pep Guardiola whilst they watch the World Cup together.
He's gonna be in a lab rebooting. What?
He's gonna do a madness in the
software update. Exactly.
Wait. I need to see. When have Chelsea got City, please?
Sammy, what's your prediction for the Liverpool City?
I'm gonna say 5-2.
That's my prediction as well.
Yeah, 5-2. I feel like Liverpool, they'll have the opportunity. They'll have obviously chances to go in the game and give City, you know, moments of whatever. But yeah, 5-2.
Games for Chelsea.
So we see what we said. We have Haaland on the 2nd of Jan.
Happy after he's rebooted.
iOS 17.
Sorry. And going around once again, this time starting with Lauren, could you please give me who you think deserves player of the week?
Oh. I hate to say it, but Martinelli.
Sammy?
Nelly!
I just want to chime in here. As much as I love Arsenal, Bruno G for me.
True. Fair enough.
Brie?
I didn't really watch football like that this season, so I'm going to do it off
this
the
season?
She saw Tuka go and was like, I'm done with it.
She saw 2nd of January and just said
that. She's engaged.
She looked how soon she's the like, same fixture oh, came up. She said, nah.
You guys are really onto me today. That's why I don't come on the pod anymore, you know.
You know, if you concede the game, then you only have to take 3-0 loss.
Lauren?
I'm just saying, I'm so happy that the Spurs City game got postponed because that would have
just destroyed.
Same. That would just destroyed our confidence.
I honestly think they might go unbeaten this season, man.
But yeah, I'll echo what Samantha said. I'll go with Nelly still.
Mariam?
Girl. Sorry. Oh, I'm trying to think. I don't remember what happened midweek as well. Okay, I think because of... I think today's game is most fresh in my mind. So I think I will give it to Martinelli.
Wow. And Marva?
I was going to say I won't be, but no, I think maybe Cancelo, actually.
Cancelo. Actually, I take it back. Cancelo, I completely forgot.
Any chance to not give the Arsenal player credit?
Do you know what? I think...
You said it, sorry.
Martinelli, because the occasion of the
I
match.
I was going to say the occasion, yeah.
Getting over the... We always lose to Liverpool.
Yeah, because Arsenal always do have this thing. That's another reason. Arsenal have this, I don't know what it is, this block when it comes to, like, you know, Liverpool, City kind of thing, as much as they'll play well. But then, I don't know, there was a game last season where they played so well. Was it for one?
I call it Big Six bookiness. That's what we
they have
with.
This thing in their head. So because of that,
I think the game you're talking about was a City game.
Yeah, I think it was. I think Cancelo did amazing. So.
Okay, and that wraps it up for this week.
Did you ask Nova?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Inclusivity, though. That wraps it up for this week. Please do follow all of our socials at Golddiggers UK, and we'll see you guys next week.
Oh, and also check us out on Apple Podcasts. They're featuring us this month for Black History Month. Ooh. If you go on the Discover page, you see us right there. Just scroll a little bit and you see Golddiggers Podcast. Don't forget to also rate our podcast. Like, subscribe. We're on TikTok everywhere. And yeah, see you next week.
Bye.
1 deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.